Thank you, Noah, and thank you, Carrie, and thank you everyone else that participated in the service tonight. Appreciate your ministry to us and appreciate all of you coming out tonight to be part of this special service. This is certainly a unique service, this candlelight service. I guess it's unique in the sense that we only light candles once a year. but there is something... There's just something about glimmering lights in the darkness, isn't there? I think most of us would agree that the variety of lights that we see, especially during the Christmas season and the colors and all of that, are uniquely beautiful, but they're uniquely beautiful with the backdrop of darkness behind them. And I think that visual of light in darkness that is one that uniquely portrays what the Christmas story is all about. If you were with us this morning, or if you were with us last Sunday, we've been in the Gospel of John in the first chapter for our Christmas messages, and you'll probably notice in the program today that the text is again in John chapter 1. Verses 14 to 18, but I really want to zero in on one particular verse, and that is verse 14. And verse 14 says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." That verse, in summary, is really the Christmas story. The Word, which is referring to Jesus, who is God, who is eternal, who is the creator of all things, according to verses 1 through 3, if you go back in that chapter, became flesh. It's referring to His incarnation. It's that Jesus came in human form, though He was still fully God, and He was born of a virgin, and it says He dwelt, or He lived among us. The very presence of God Himself came to live among us, and in living among us, He lived a perfect, sinless life. The verse goes on to say, we have seen His glory. God's glory, who He is, was revealed fully in the divine character and nature of Jesus. It was seen in His wisdom, it was seen in His love, it was seen in His power, it was seen in His holiness. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the power of His word. Or by His power. Now again, in the context of John chapter 1, as well as a number of other places in the book of John, because this is particularly unique to John and his writing, he likes to use a particular word to summarize who Jesus is, and that word also helps us understand why Jesus came. And that word, of course, is light. We've talked about that here for the last couple weeks in different ways. But verse 9 that we looked at this morning describes Jesus as the true light. Why do we need light? Well, the answer is we need light because we live in a very dark world. And by dark, I'm referring to a sinful world, where people's lives are in turmoil, where there are broken relationships, where there's disappointment, where there's injustice, where there's abuse, where there's hurt, where there's sadness, and for many people, where there's hopelessness. And I think the word darkness in the Bible is really one way to describe all of that. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19 says, "The way of the wicked is like deep darkness, they do not know over what they stumble. But where did this darkness come from? Well, if I can just summarize it this way. Darkness is not from God. Darkness is the result of going against God. Darkness is in the heart of all of humanity because we all entered this world as sinners. And I think all of us know what a sinful heart does. I think all of us know what a sinful heart thinks because we can just look at ourselves in the mirror and understand what our hearts do sometimes. Have you ever noticed that you don't have to teach your kids how to be selfish and how to be jealous and how to get angry? It just kind of happens, doesn't it? Happens naturally. So we're trying to teach them not to be angry, not to be jealous, and not to be selfish. It's part of the sinful nature that we have. So what do we do about that? What do we do about the darkness? How do we fix the sin problem that is really at the foundation of that darkness that we see around us and maybe what we are experiencing in our own lives even? Well, the answer to darkness is light. Because light overcomes darkness. Light exposes darkness. Light helps us see reality. Light is what guides our steps in the direction that we should be going. Light is what helps us discern what is right versus what is wrong. Light helps us see truth. One thing I noticed is if I keep the lights off in my closet, it looks pretty good. So if I don't see the mess, I don't think I have a mess. But it's kind of how it works, isn't it, in life for many people? We get used to the darkness. John 12:35 says, "Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going." And yet, though we live in a dark world, Jesus came to the world to save us from darkness. Jesus came to be born in a manger with the mission that he would die on a cross in order to fix the darkness of our sin problem. We didn't really touch much on the last portion of verse 14, but it says that Jesus is full of grace and truth. What is grace? Grace is giving us what we don't deserve, right? The act of giving presents that most of us, I'm sure, will do, I'm sure that's the tradition for probably most of our families, as you open gifts, probably tomorrow, maybe some of you will do that tonight. But it's really an act of grace. It's kind of the same thing. You see, none of us deserve the gifts that we're going to open. Did you know that? Oh, but I cleaned my room last week. Well, good for you. I've been so much nicer to my brothers and sisters lately. Well, that's good. Keep doing that. I've eliminated some of those bad habits that I've had in my life over the past years that I maybe struggled with. Well, that's good to hear as well. But you know what? Those things don't earn us a gift. You see, the gift is not based on what I do. The gifts that we receive are based on someone's grace towards you. It's really the same thing as it relates to the gift of God's grace. See, we didn't deserve the forgiveness of sins. But God has been gracious to offer us forgiveness and to transform our lives through the gift of his Son, who came to earth, died on the cross, and took the penalty for my sin. I can't do anything to earn that. I can try. I can do a little better than I did last week or last month, but that just doesn't cut it. It's only by an act of God's grace. And that is what makes the gift of salvation such a unique, amazing gift. See, the light of Christ not only came to expose darkness, which it did, but it also came to rescue us from that darkness. John, and I'm going to referring to a number of verses in John, because John addresses this multiple times, but John 8:12, it says, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I don't know about you, but when I see the light of Jesus Christ and what he's done, against the backdrop of the darkness of the world in which we live, it makes that light so brilliant and amazing and beautiful, doesn't it? And many of you, I think, here this tonight can give testimony of how God has rescued you from a very dark past, or how he's rescued you from a lot of dark decisions that you've made over your life, and how he's transformed you from the inside out, and how he's brought joy to your life even in the midst of trials and difficulties that you've faced. He's brought purpose to your life. We need to treasure that. We need to ponder that, as Mary referred to. And I think the other thing is, we can walk around and we can say Merry Christmas to people, and or we can be at the receiving end of all of these nice Christmas wishes that people might send our way as well. But without accepting the gift of salvation extended to us from a gracious and loving God, Christmas or any other day of the year is still very dark and hopeless. So, I mean, our nice gathering tonight is as meaningful as it is, and as traditional as it is, and as feel good as it might be, who are you when you get up tomorrow? Where is your heart in relationship to who God is and what he's done for you? You may be sitting here tonight and you're thinking to yourself, you know what? My darkness is just too dark. It's too dark to be changed. It's too dark for God to rescue me. Well, I want to tell you something. I want you to think again, because in John 1:5, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What that's saying is that there is no darkness too dark that can overcome the light of what Christ has done for you on the cross. The light is just too great. Amen. And that light is the only thing that brings hope. John chapter 12, verse 36 says, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. That's what Christmas is for. And so our candlelight service, we come to the point here where we're going to light some candles. And as we do that, let's think past the tradition of what we're doing here. Let's think about the meaning behind what we're doing. And if you're a Christian, I would just say to you, let lighting your candle, let us lighting our candles tonight be a testimony of what Christ has done in your life. Just let that be a little reminder to you. And as you light your candle, give thanks for what Christ has done for you. And if you are not yet a Christian, I would just say to you, consider just how much Jesus did in coming to earth to save you and to give you new life. And so we're going to light our candles. I need to give a few instructions in doing so because there's a lot of candles to be lit here tonight.